And if you don't mind, Marvin, could I get your first and last name, please?
Marvin Milius.
Okay. And Marvin, how long did you serve our country?
Just about 7 years. I think I lacked 3 months of being 7 years, something like that.
And right on, you're wearing a hat that says Pearl Harbor Survivor, U.S. Navy. So you were stationed in Pearl Harbor, correct?
Yes, I was stationed there aboard the destroyer Ralph Talbot for I think 15 months before the war started.
And when did you first went over there in early 1941? Is that correct?
Yeah, I think it's the spring of 41. A lot of this they have to commit to memory, and normally I used to keep diaries and everything. You couldn't do that, no way.
What? Why is that?
Secrecy.
Oh,
You
sure.
couldn't keep a camera. I had to send my camera home and a half a dozen things, and I just showed her some censored letters there. Even I don't know what I wrote in them because they cut out or blacked out all through the war. Never could.
And describe your time while you were over in Pearl Harbor. What was it like being stationed over there?
What was what?
What was it like being stationed over
Well,
in
after
Pearl
you
Harbor?
got there, they sent us out there. It was just a fleet maneuver. And we were supposed to maybe figure a month. Then I think Washington decided they kept the whole fleet there. That's a lot of ships there, 100,000 sailors. And they decided and they called it the Hawaiian Detachment. And after married people and everything, and God, we want to go back to San Diego. I just got in the Navy then. But they kept us there until Pearl Harbor.
And what was it like on that fateful day? What was it like in Pearl Harbor?
What's it like?
Yep. What
Oh, you mean that day?
Yep.
Well, let's see, I had the mid-watch. That means the mid-watch, you know what it is? It's from 12 to 4 in the afternoon night. I didn't get much sleep. And I was just getting up to eat breakfast when I think I heard a gun go off right above me. And then it rang, and it says, somebody said we're being attacked. Anyway, I got dressed up, I think, maybe 30 seconds, and I went up a couple decks, and there was my battle station. And that was a 50 caliber machine gun. I had just been to the Utah 2 months before taking a school on machine guns. So that's why I was up there. Normally, I was a torpedo man. And I went up there and started looking. I could see planes and everything. And normally, if you want to shoot, you get permission. You don't shoot. Well, I think everybody in Pearl Harbor that morning, they just started shooting the first plane they seen. And the first plane I seen was quite a ways away. Shot anyway. But it wasn't so bad unless you stop to think about it. I wanted to keep busy, and then we didn't have much 50 caliber ammunition ready. And it so happened that two machine guns, and I was topside, I could see everything going on. One, like a bicycle, that wire there, and it broke and never did get it fixed. So mine, but anyway, it didn't take long to shoot that ammunition up, and they had to keep five, six people belting it. So I never, can't say I ever got a good shot. Except I could have had an awful good shot at a dive bomber coming. God, I could see the pilot so plain. Coming in and out of ammunition. He dropped a bomb, I think, off the stern of the Dobbin, a big destroyer tender. And I remember seeing that black bomb going like that and standing there watching. And I thought it made a big splash, and I was waiting for, there was never no explosion. So it must, he missed, but it must not been a dummy or maybe the water. I don't know. It didn't explode. So after, on a ship like that, when you come in, you cut off the power or steam. So you have to, you just don't step on the gas and go out of the harbor. We had to build up steam to go out there, and it took about an hour and a half to do that. Then we went out of the harbor, and that's when I went off the machine gun and went to the torpedo tube. And I can't remember, I remember going by the hospital point there, seeing a lot of white sailors or white uniforms laying on the grass, and that was right next to the Channel Hospital Point. The Naval Hospital was there. And this, I was underneath a torpedo tube, and I couldn't do it now, but we was putting an exploder into the warheads and everything, they're ready to go, but we didn't have the automatic exploders in them. But the men went out to sea there, and we went out at the end, we was going pretty fast. Destroyers went fast. And all we could do was patrol for submarines. I didn't get no breakfast that morning, and I think I got some sandwich towards evening, no supper, but then we was at battle stations all the time, so I didn't get much sleep that night again. I mean, if you were a cook or baker, you can cut a lot of this out. You had a battle station, you maybe was cooking, but when you had a gun, maybe your battle station was at some gun, and handling ammunition. So that's why they couldn't have time to cook. And it's surprising, I remember how cold I got at night there off Pearl Harbor. I mean, you know, tropic. I told my parents, somebody said, send me a warmer jacket. It didn't. So that's why we come in there, and we come back after 3 days. And we went out, after 3 days, and it's surprising. The mess, the ships are sunk, were all rusty already, rust fast, in salt water, salt air. And our chief is back in Newport going to school, and they come in, and they naturally send her back, and they said, boy, everybody, we're going to do the Japanese and everything. I remember when he came in Pearl Harbor on a big transfer for a lot of people coming back, he said to me, it's so quiet, you could have heard a pin drop. People, that's how wide awake they were, or the change. The Japanese. I think if they'd have known exactly what they'd done there, and there was a lot of opposition. My worry was I knew that they could have had, and they should have had, and they cussed probably now that they didn't have, a couple of come in there, even the day later, battleship, cruiser, and they could have sunk everything that was sitting in that harbor and destroyed everything. Because they had wiped out our Air Force, and they had the battleships were done, and a lot of cruisers were done. There were two or three carriers out there. And they were coming back in. But I think if the Japanese had stayed there and everything, them carriers could have been sunk, or they would have headed to the West Coast. When they're Japanese, people don't realize, I know, I'm sure that, but they could have, you probably read, anybody read that, the Japanese, and a lot of them wanted to go back and have two more strikes or something, but the admiral in charge of the Japanese, he said, we've done a good job, and after a little, he headed for home.
Do you remember thinking at the time of the Pearl Harbor attack, were you thinking this is a prelude to World War II, or was that not on your mind that day?
Was it a what?
When Pearl Harbor was attacked, were you thinking that this would start World War II?
Well, it started, yeah, in them time, there's no doubt about it. I mean, war started just as soon as the first bomb dropped. And at that time, as I remember all through the 30s, there was a lot of talk of war, airplane, battleship, and stuff like that. Just like we're talking about certain things now, Iraq for the last 5 years, that's where they talk. So, we were at war. Germany was, and we were helping British. We were helping British awful a lot, manufacturing stuff and giving them ships. So that helped a lot. And also, no matter what you say, we was in, when I joined, in a depression. And it never really come out of a depression until the war started. And It did help when we started manufacturing a lot of stuff, ammunition, planes and everything. It did help the economy some because we were selling it or giving it to England. The sheep was only sheep. Wouldn't the Japanese would have attacked and something like that, I think England would have had no choice, but they took a pounding. I was over in England a couple of times. We took convoys over there, and I still remember where we were, the rubble around, cement blocks, and just rubble. That's what it was.
And when were you over in England?
Well, after I got off the ship there, I was, 2 years. I got on an 11 and there's convoy duty. Convoy duty back and forth, and that ended up a couple times going to, I think, overnight one time in Ireland and one time in a seaport in England. So all we got to do was walk ashore for a couple hours, and that was it. And there was nothing. Them people, what I seen, didn't have nothing. You couldn't buy a souvenir. I don't even know if we could buy a meal there. It's so much different. I can't remember. And when they had the nightfall, everything was dark. You couldn't, if I was talking to you in dark, I wouldn't know who it was except by your voice. Mm-hmm. And so, but then that 2 or 3 in the Atlantic, it was rough. But you're escorting a big bunch of ships, a lot of escorts, and a lot of ships. So then we went to, through the Mediterranean. I remember going, I guess it was way out. I remember going by Gibraltar. And we was kind of ways away from it. Pictures I see that's high, but I guess we was a long ways away from it. And maybe 7, 8 miles, I don't know. So that's why, but I think if you sailed right under it, so then we went to see North Africa and the convoys there and the damage in the harbor and sunken ships. But the war was over there too. I mean, we'd taken North Africa at that time. But I'm going to get back to right after we went to Wake. After the war started, they got this 2-3 kids went out there to relieve Wake. Of course, they didn't tell anybody where it's going. I don't know, not even the captain maybe, until he got out of sea. So we went to Wake there and we crossed the international daytime one day before Christmas, international dateline. Went across the 24th and got across there. I don't know how far. It's Christmas Day. We got a big. And as we got across to half a day, I so long ago, Wake had fallen. So there's nothing to do but turn around and come back. So we gained a day. And we do. It's another Christmas Day. Two of them.
Yeah, two.
Yeah. Well, nobody's ever going to do that in time to go back and cross over because it's a long ways. You flew 50 years ago, you wouldn't make it back. Mm-hmm. And the same way ships, they wouldn't make it back. So, but that's why we wake. And after that, we made a raid down there on the Marshall and Gilbert Islands. And that's when the first time I got to see what was with Enterprise, and I was on a destroyer then. I remember I was always topside, a torpedo on the topside. I always see it was going on. I still remember, and there's still a picture of a guy trying to bomb the Enterprise. And I think they shot 2 or 3 of them, twin-engine Bettys. But there's a lot of air attacks there, and they got in. But it's the first offense we had of the war. Offense. And but I still remember, I think the day before, because there's a lot of ships and a lot of airplanes that could attack us. We couldn't them. But I still remember one time when we was out in front of the carrier, 2 carriers and 2 destroyers behind. And they had a report coming. I remember seeing the Enterprise was back of us and I think we've seen the planes go over maybe 15,000 feet up, beautiful sight, silvery and everything like that. And I remember looking back and seeing the carrier. I don't know if Halsey was on there or not. And he must have known when they let their bombs go on once they was going 30 knots, you know, that's fast. And watching that carrier tip over. You almost thought it was going to tip over and capsize. But they dropped bombs and they missed. And there were some American planes after them up there. And we were shooting at them high like that. But I don't think we had anything, 5-inch guns and everything. But while the explosion up there, I see the American planes kind of pulled off and quit. Now, I don't know for sure whether that, they had a guy named Lieutenant Commander O'Hara. He shot down, I think, 5 of them bombers at one pass, because they were kind of flying gas tanks. And he, O'Hara, does it ring a bell with you?
O'Hara.
It don't? How come it don't?
The airfield.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Okay, he's from Chicago. He got killed, so they need an airfield after him. That's why it's that's called O'Hare Airfield.
I'll be darned. I didn't know that.
Well, it is not widely publicized. And then I was at the Battle of Midway, and we went out to Midway. We escorted the Yorktown out there from Pearl Harbor. We got to get out there fast. And really didn't see nothing there. I mean, nobody else except there's an airplane. We was lucky to win that. Because the only reason is because we had to unload a bunch of dive bombers and sunk 3 or 4 carriers. Before that, we didn't. They hit Midway, and then when we got detached after the battle, we got detached to go to Midway to take 500 civilians back, workers, back to Pearl Harbor. So we got ashore there, and went ashore, and 5 or 6 of us, and naturally, we started looking for souvenirs. I found the Jap planes. I got a nameplate as all. But they had actually, when you start to think of it, they had destroyed Midway, everything there. If they'd probably landed a couple hundred men, they'd taken it over. They're lucky there, too. But anyway, we come back there, and these civilians were all over the Pacific. That's why there's so many on Wake Island. Were taken prisoner, and they were all shot. And midway after that, they wanted to go back, and they were civilians, technicians, everything, construction, airfield, and everything. But they took them back, and after that, that's when they started the Seabees. So, you know what Seabees are? They're the people that land the civilian navy, and they started, see, but they're in the military service. So they had them, and that's why they, when we took over an island, they got in there and built airfields and everything like that. They were generally older people, but they were experienced construction workers. But that's why. So we, but anyway, I remember, you've probably seen it, going ashore in that big hangar that burned. You've seen it. I've seen pictures of it. Okay, I walked in that, and it was burned out completely. And I've always thought, I don't know what it smelled. There was some smell in there. I smelled then, and I've never smelled since. Probably some chemical or something like that. It's a new hangar. Maybe them guys were working on it. I don't know.
But you still remember the smell?
Yeah, I don't know what it smelled like, but yeah. We went there and walked around, and gee, then we come back. Anyway, we've seen quite a bit, but I don't remember ever seeing any life and Marines around. And I know his executive officer, Bob, he was kind of angry when he got back. We were just took off and we wanted to get underway. Well, we did get underway. I never seen a bigger pile of suitcases on the dock than them people had there. They must have all been on the ship because I never seen them. Anyway, that's enough of that. But anyway, I happened to think about a couple of years ago, and they didn't have mines then, but we took a trail, kind of a trail, and put it all maybe half mile, maybe a mile, went up, and we kind of running too. And I always see the Pacific Ocean if you look in the distance. But I happen to think we wandered around there. I happen to think, God, well, they didn't have mines then. You wouldn't do that now. Like mines, but we didn't think of mines. But maybe they did. Maybe the Americans had mines along the beach. And just I'm just visiting, and I remember seeing so many coconuts around and smell, like, not a nice smell, rotting coconut. But they were a lot. They fell off and they dropped. That's enough on that. But there's very few people ever seen Midway. I've seen it twice. Not... Yeah, Midway, yeah. It's just a low flat, Gooneyburg Island.
No, if you could, did you volunteer for the Navy, or why did you join the Navy?
Why did I join the Navy? Well, you know, at some time, because there wasn't enough in my class. I think there's only one guy who went to college, the valedictorian, and there really is no opportunity. Nobody went to college, nobody, unless they had something to be a doctor. So I don't know, I guess I'd seen a few uniforms around, and it took, you know, after I went to Aberdeen and took my physical, and it took part of a year to call me up. I mean, I think three or four from South Dakota were taken down the Great Lakes in 1 month. That's all. But when the war started, that was different. Oh boy, then they cut their training period short, when the war in Europe started, England.
Do you remember what it was like the day you got your orders that you could go home, that finally, back to the United States, that your time serving the military was over?
When I was done in the military, I was on ammunition depot up there, and in order to get out, I had enough at that time to get out. You had to have points. I mean, the more you served overseas and everything, so there's no question about who was getting out. I got out first of all, and I got married, and a couple weeks later, about a week later, I was on the way to South Dakota. But I went to Great Lakes, where I had took my retraining, and went to Great Lakes, and that's where they separated me from service. I took a train home to Aberdeen, and that was it. 3 cents a mile they paid me.
What was it like when you got home?
My life, I think, let's see. I was married, but my wife didn't come because she was, I had to go, really had a house there and some land, but all we done was, I think that day or the next day, you know what I did? Went out and plowed some land.
Oh, really?
No, she said, you move around. Not thinking about anybody around here. Went on plowed. It was middle of October. It must have been middle of September, finished the 1st of November.
What's it like when you have you talked to anybody else that you served in the military with since you got back to South Dakota?
What do you mean, sir? What do you mean, then? Oh, no. Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't. Well, he was on a ship when he got transferred. You had no chance of, unless you stayed in the service, you'd maybe meet him. But very seldom ever see him. But,
sure.
Yeah.
Did you get along with your fellow soldiers pretty well?
Oh, yeah, they're always, sailors. They were soldiers.
Oh,
you got along with them. I still remember meeting different nationalities, religion. And you never once gave it a thought. You never heard nothing about, I remember the first ship I was on, or training and everything, it seemed like the destroyer was on, there was a lot of Polish people on. Yeah, but let's see, used the Kuzdini and stuff. And they were nice guys. They talked, but you always talk, but you always, no matter what it was, you always got along. You were, you give not to understand, you went in there to, but you didn't hear all this like you hear now, none. None whatsoever. I've never seen anybody on the ship there that quarreled with anybody. And the Navy didn't encourage that either, boy. If you had run, you got in trouble. That's it.
One last question, but what are your thoughts when you watch, say, movies with a World War II theme or say, documentaries?
See, now you're talking about Pearl Harbor, any of that. Like that, it's a... No comparison whatsoever. It's laughable. This last movie they made about 10 years ago. Pearl Harbor is awful quiet. In fact, if they would film it there for 2 hours, it'd been awful boring. unless you'd see things close up. You know, when the planes come in like that, they drop their bombs and gone. Mm-hmm. And they don't fly around and crack jokes and stuff like that. I was scared, mostly scared, if I wasn't busy. And the run reason, because I knew one time we heard explosions. Somebody said, and we worked the first one, but somebody says they're picking the ships off as you go out. And that channel was long and narrow. It was a trap. The whole Pearl Harbor deal was a trap for ships. And so I thought, well, we knew we was going out. And I remember going out, and a lot of us, I think either just run aground as we went past there or something like that, and that Nevada, that big battleship.